time with the message.
All right, thank you very much. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You've been sitting there for quite a while. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. James chapter 3. We're going to read 12 verses of James chapter 3. We are not Nehemiah tonight. God has directed me to this portion of Scripture. It was only God. As you understand the topic later on, it's nothing that I've seen, but it's God directing a message. That's very simple. Okay? So as we get through the message, don't think, well, why is Pastor preaching? Is he preaching about me? Did he hit? No, it's only God directing me. All right? And so James chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." That's pretty strong language, isn't it? Verse 7, "For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh?" Lord, bless us. Speak through me. Do something I cannot do. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to make the decisions tonight that we need to make. Help us to say yes to you already, with however you want to speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It was during World War II when the American intelligence intercepted messages to spies planted in the United States. There was an attempt to locate all the locations of the Allied warships that these spies were looking for. In order to help starve the spies of crucial information, there was a phrase that was coined by the War Advertising Council and used on posters by United States Office of War Information. Anybody remember that phrase? "Loose lips sink ships." Loose lips sink ships. I remember the story of a young man who ran up to his grandma and said, "I am so happy to see you. Now that you're here, grandma, my daddy's going to do his trick." And grandma was puzzled and curious. "And what trick is that?" Little boy looked up there and said, "I heard him tell mommy that he would climb the walls if you came to visit." We love children, don't we? Sometimes we enjoy just being around children and listening to what they say, because when what comes out of their mouth is untamed, isn't it? It's so funny listening, just to listen and hear what children have to say. I enjoy listening to what children. I enjoy hearing what they say. We were at the park, and Colton was there. Actually, I was not there, but my wife was there. And Colton was watching the water come down and watching the creek come through, the water come through. And he looked up at Mom. He said, "Mom, where are the batteries for this creek? There's got to be batteries for it, right?" And just what the kids say, that's something. Sometimes they say too much. But mature Christians should not speak like immature children. A mature Christian should not have loose lips like little children. There's a saying that goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. And how many know that's a tough saying, but it really isn't true. It really isn't true. Words can hurt. Words will hurt. And so I want to look tonight at some ships that our tongue and loose lips can sink. I think as a church, this is an area where we can think and help our own church, is what we say and what comes out of our mouth. Number one, the first ship, as we study in James chapter 3, we see verse 11, it says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Look at verse 9, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith what? Curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be so." The first ship that we can sink with loose lips is worship. Our worship. Our worship to God. We see here that there's a fountain in verse 11, and out of that fountain, there's two different things, bitter and sweet. Parents, I wonder how your children look at you as you come to church and you pick up a hymn book and you worship God with the music and with Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus and all the wonderful songs that we sing in church, and you worship God as you sing. But your children know what words you use behind closed doors. And what you say, because you cannot control your mouth. And then you want to come and you want to worship God. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Ought not to be. Why? Because loose lips sink ships. If you turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 19, there is a verse there that I want you to see. Psalms chapter 19, there's a great song. We usually sing this song, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the honeycomb." A lot of great principles through this, but at the end of that chapter, we see verse 14. It says, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Here's what David realized. Everything I say, God hears. Every word that comes out of my mouth, God hears. And Lord, I want to be, everything that comes out of my mouth, I want it to be acceptable to you. I want to be acceptable to you. Can you see that word? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, listen to this, be acceptable in thy sight. What is acceptable to God? What words are acceptable to God? Think about what words are unacceptable to God. What words are we using? What is coming out of our mouth? If you want your worship to be right, then your words must be right. it's not acceptable to me, but acceptable to God. If you want your worship to be right, your meditation ought to be right. We want our worship to be right, don't we? We want to come to Temple Baptist Church and we want to worship God. In our own homes, we want to worship God. We want to lift up God. We want to put Him in a high place. We want to have the right worship. But we can sink that ship with loose lips. I like what William Temple said. He said, "For worship is the submission of all our nature to God." Think about that. All of our nature to God. Watch this. You ever been in that moment where you're ready to spout out what you want to say in the flesh? Huh? I'm going to give Him a piece of my mind. Don't give too much. We're in that moment, and if you have loose lips, you're going to sink this ship. I wonder if there's anybody in this auditorium that looks at us while we sing and thinks, "I've heard that person speak before, and now they're wanting to worship God." Huh? I've seen another kind of water flow out of that fountain before, and now they want pure water out of that fountain. Loose lips will sink ships. Worship. Number two, loose lips will sink fellowship. Look at verse 8. This is a song that we sing when we're a young person. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil." Listen to this phrase. "Full of" what? "Deadly poison." Now watch this. This deadly poison, it's poisonous to you. It's poisonous to your family. It's poisonous to the church and your brethren. You with me on that? "A careless word may kindle strife, a cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate instill, a brutal word may smite and kill. A gracious word may smooth the way, a joyous word may light the day. A timely word may lessen stress, a loving word may heal and bless." Can you think about a relationship right now? A relationship when it's a little off. It's not where it should be. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's bitterness there. And as you go back to that relationship, and when it started going awry, when it started going off course, when it started getting further and further apart, you can probably mark it all the way back to what someone said. Whether it was what someone said about somebody or to somebody. And I pray this. I pray it was nothing we said. Boy, can words ruin a relationship. Boy, can words sink fellowship in a church. Amen. Handshaking time comes and you can't go by that person. You can't shake that person's hand because of what you've said to that person before. And now there's no fellowship there. There's no fellowship. I remember the story of Corrie ten Boom and her family resisted the Nazis and by hiding Jews in their home, and they were ultimately discovered and sent to concentration camp, and Corrie barely survived until the end of the war, and her family members died in captivity. Seared by This terrible trial by fire, Corey's faith in God also survived, and she spent much of her time in the post-war years traveling in Germany and elsewhere in Europe, sharing her faith in Christ. On one occasion in 1947, while speaking in a church in Munich, she noticed a balding man in a gray overcoat near the rear of the basement room. She had been speaking on the subject of God's forgiveness, but her heart was froze within her. When she recognized the man, she could picture him as she had seen him so many times before, in his blue Nazi uniform, with the visored cap, the cruelest of the guards of the Ravensbrück camp where Corey had suffered the most horrible, time, and where her own sister had died. Yet here he was, at the end of her talk, coming up the aisle toward her with his hand thrust out. "Thank you for your fine message," he said. "How wonderful it is to know that all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." Yes, Corey had said that. She had spoken so easily of God's forgiveness, but here was a man whom she despised and condemned with every fiber of her being. She couldn't take his hand. She couldn't extend forgiveness to this Nazi oppressor. She realized that this man didn't remember her. How could he remember one prisoner among thousands? "You mentioned Ravensbrück," the man continued. His hand was still extended out. "I was a guard there. I'm ashamed to admit it, but it's true. But since then, I've come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It has been hard for me to forgive myself for all the cruel things I did, but I know that God has forgiven me. And please, if you would, I would like to hear from you and from your lips that God has forgiven me." And Corey recorded this in her book. She said, "I stood there, I whose sins had again and again been forgiven, and I could not forgive. I could not have been many seconds. It could not have been many seconds he stood there and held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart, and so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. 'I forgive you, brother,' I cried with my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Our lips will always be right when our heart is right. And I wonder how many are in here, how many people in Temple Baptist Church, maybe in this auditorium tonight, are harboring bitterness and unforgiveness. And that bitterness and that unforgiveness is manifesting itself through our loose lips. And it's sinking the ship called fellowship. And I want to tell you something. It's not just about the fellowship with each other. But when the fellowship is not right with the brethren, we know the fellowship's not right with God. I want to challenge you not to leave this building if there is somebody in this room that you need to get right with, if there is somebody in this auditorium, maybe you've talked behind their back, maybe your lips have been loose about somebody, and you need to ask for forgiveness. That God wants to do something great in this church. If that's going to be the case, we're going to need the fellowship. We're going to need the fellowship with God. We're going to need the fellowship with each other. And we need to be loving to each other and caring to each other. I want to turn our Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You say, Pastor Creed, it's just impossible. You don't know what this person said to me or did to me or my children. Pastor Creed, you just don't know. First of all, God says, I'm the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible when God's in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you above such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Through God's grace, God's power, He has given us an opportunity to forgive. You say, well, Pastor, what is forgiveness? Now watch this. Is forgiveness forgetting? Is it forgetting? I would say no. As how many of you forget a lot of things, but when somebody does something to you, boy, it's hard to forget. It really is. Watch this. Here's what forgiveness is. When somebody does something to me, and I forgive them, what that means is I'm not going to bring that against them again. Imagine this. God's forgiven you of the sins that you commit, and you get to go to heaven. Why? Because God's not going to bring them against you again. Amen. That's what forgiveness is. And if we're going to have fellowship, and if we're going to control over our lips, we're going to have forgiveness. Forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times? What did Jesus say? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Jesus wasn't really putting a number on that. What was he doing? He was saying, you continue to forgive. And then you continue to forgive. And then you forgive again. And then you forgive again. And then you forgive again. Well, Pastor Creed, I don't want to be a doormat for people just to run all over me. Well, what was Jesus Christ when he took your sins on the cross? You're in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. This is a principle of taking off and putting on. We're taking off the old, we're renewing our mind, and we're putting on the new. Okay? Everybody get that? It's a principle of taking off the old, renewing your mind, and putting on the new. So what is he talking about in verse 29? He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Okay, what's the old? Corrupt communication. He's talking to Christians here. Corrupt communication is the old, right? What's the new? Huh? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. He said, what is corrupt communication? We understand what corrupt communication when we know what the new is. If it's not edifying, if it's not ministering grace unto the hearers, guess what it is? It's corrupt communication. A lot of times we look at that verse and say, well, Pastor Creed, I don't cuss, I don't curse, I don't yell at people and use obscenities. I don't do that. That's not necessarily what it's talking about. Although that is corrupt communication, that's not necessarily what it's talking about. What is it talking about? It's talking about that things that are tearing down, that's not edifying. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it sinking fellowship? Is it sinking fellowship? Then it goes on to say this. Look at verse 31. Let some of your bitterness. No, it's not what it says, is it? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and what? Evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That word malice is anger. Look at verse 32. The verse that we know, that we've memorized how many times, and we said in Sunday school, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are your lips loose? Have you sunk a fellowship because of your lips, because of the words that you've said? Do you need to ask for forgiveness? There's another ship. The other ship is verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? What is that? That's fruit. Amen. Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. The other ship that sinks because of our loose lips sink ships. The other ship is discipleship. Discipleship. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We've seen that. My words will be kind, encouraging, and lifting up to the Savior in worship. Praise God for that. But what about the lost people? We talked about our words when God's in our presence. When we're in the presence of God. And by the way, let me say this. God is everywhere, and he's listening to you, and he hears what you say. We talked about your words about other people and to other people and how that we can harbor bitterness and anger and unforgiveness towards somebody, and it can be made manifest through our mouth, and that sinks worship and fellowship. But what about the lost people? You said discipleship. When does discipleship start? Huh? I've had three children. I will tell you, my wife went through the jaws of death to have children. I did not want to be there, but I was there. And the moment each of my children came into this world, we started nurturing them. Listen, as soon as someone gets saved, guess what? We start nurturing them. We start nurturing them. That's discipleship. Discipleship starts at salvation. Our fruit. And how many times have we turned lost people away from the Savior because of the wrong words that we say? Because of our loose lips, we sink the ship of discipleship. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I believe that. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Sometimes we sink this ship by what we say. How you respond or talk in the presence of a lost person or to a lost person. Right? That police officer that pulls you over because it's your fault. Amen? Let's go ahead and say this. Ready? It's my fault. Men, let's do this first. Ready? It's my fault. That would help us with our lips, wouldn't it? If we just realized a lot more things are our fault than we actually think. It's my fault. But we have a good point. And we're going to speak our mind to this police officer. And there sits a gospel tract. And you decline to give up, to reach in and get a gospel tract and give this police officer. And instead of doing that, here's what you say. I don't know why you pulled me over. I'm on the way to so-and-so and I got to get there in 5 minutes. I don't have time for this, police officer. And what we say to a lost person. By the way, here's a tract. Come to Temple Baptist Church. By the way, if you do that, please don't give them a Temple Baptist Church tract. Okay? You may have some other church tracts in the compartment, not temple, okay? By what you say, what about the people at work? What have they heard you say? What have they heard you talk about? Have they heard you talk about your Jesus? Have they heard you talk about your Heavenly Father? Or do they hear nothing but complaining and griping? And boy, they wouldn't want to be a Christian. It sounds horrible. We can also sink this ship by what we don't say. By what we don't say. The greatest and wisest words that anyone can ever speak is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? The greatest and wisest words that can ever come out of your mouth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter where you are you lifting up the name of Jesus Christ? By the way, we have that opportunity, that pleasure, and that honor to do so. And if anybody ought to be good at that, it ought to be Christians. Loose lips sink ships. How's your worship? How's your fellowship? How's your discipleship? Any of them sunk? Charles Spurgeon pastored in the same city in London as a man by the name of Joseph Parker. And both had nice-sized churches and in the 19th century. On one occasion, Parker made a comment on the poor condition of the children admitted into Spurgeon's orphanage. It was reported to Spurgeon, however, that Parker had criticized the orphanage itself. Spurgeon blasted Parker the next week, and he did it from the pulpit. The attack was printed in the newspapers, and actually it became the talk of the town. Everybody was talking about how that Spurgeon blasted Parker from the pulpit. The next Sunday, people flocked to Parker's church just to hear the rebuttal. And Parker got up in the pulpit, and he said, "I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today. And this is the Sunday they used to take an offering for the orphanage. What I'd like to do is I'd like to take that offering for them instead." The crowd was delighted, and in fact, the ushers had to go back and empty the offering plates because so much came in. Later that week, there was a knock at the office, the study of Parker, and it was Spurgeon. He says, "You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me You have given me not what I deserved. You have given me what I needed. How do you use your lips? Are they loose? Are they sinking ships? Are you giving them to God?